Well, I hope I'm the right tool for the job today. But look, it's great to be here. Look, I must confess I'm about as nervous as a chook in a snake pen, but that's all right. In hindsight, I probably shouldn't have had that macchiato I had earlier. But look, my name's Josh, and I've come from Perth with the group of people that Jethro mentioned earlier. This is a new beard I'm actually trialling. So, yeah, just let me know what you think, if it's any good or not. Look, Trent actually has been linking me to ISIS lately, because I've denied it vehemently, but all I want to say to you, Trent, is Allah-luya. So, cheers. Look, so we came up on Friday. We came in a big fat bus. We're about 20 people. I was actually crook as a chook because it was just, I don't know, some of the roads, it's got more bumps than a maternity ward, I think, but that's all right. Look, just want to thank Jethro and thank the community for having us here. Yeah, we've already had a great time. It's gone too quick already. But, yeah, hopefully we can finish with a bang rather than a Big Bang Theory. So, firstly, just a little bit about myself. So, like, just to give you a bit of background. As I said, my name's Josh. I originally come from Tasmania. So I already was in great need of help from Jesus. Just to, you know, restore my fingers so I had five and, you know, take off one of my heads and all that sort of stuff. But no, I grew up in a Catholic family, big family of eight kids. So I was going to Catholic church as a young bloke, but I got into alcohol by about the age of 13, as most Catholics. No, I'm just joking. You can tell by my red nose. So I got into alcohol when I was about 14, and I proceeded to drink every day, pretty much every day, until I was about 25. There's not much employment in Tassie, as you can probably imagine. So I got expelled from year 9 in a Catholic high school. Then I went to a state school. I got kicked out of there as well. So I was, I was doing pretty well. I didn't have any plan at all in life. I didn't have any vision, any purpose. I didn't know what you're supposed to do with life. I wouldn't have a clue. What do you have a family? What do you buy a car? I don't know. What do you do? So I just decided to get smashed every day and, did it pretty well. Couldn't remember months at a time pretty much because I was just like blacking out every night. I did that till I was about 25 and I started starting to think about my life and surely there's more for me. Surely, you know, I can do more with myself. Maybe I have more potential than the life I'm living at the moment. So when I was 25, I just had an idea. I'm going to move to Perth. I had no money at all. Like it was, my Centrelink pay didn't really look after me too well. I had a few bills. But I had to borrow money to actually move to Perth to get a plane fare. And I had no money at all when I came to Perth. I just had a plan that maybe, you know, I believed in God. I had a faith that God's up there somewhere and maybe he can help me out a bit. And I moved to Perth. I was on the streets for about 2 or 3 weeks just trying to get by, you know, just praying to God to ask him just to keep me safe so I don't get stabbed and keep me dry from all the sprinklers that seem to turn on at 3 in the morning. When you just start getting to sleep and you hear this, you're like, oh, what's this, 60 minutes or something? Like, yeah, but God slowly started restoring my life day by day. One day I actually went to a church to get some food because I was absolutely starvation army. And I went there. I didn't realise it was a church, but they asked me if I wanted to commit my life to Jesus. And I'm like, oh, geez, yeah, when can I sign up? But they actually didn't know what to do after that because they don't expect people to say yes. So he's like, hang on, mate, I wasn't prepared for that. June, what's that prayer again? Yeah, mark him up for the usual. So yeah, I started getting my life on track with God, and slowly started getting off the booze and whatnot. Actually did a couple of years of Bible college, which was a lot different than what I was expecting. I just thought it'd be people dressed in like monk suits just throwing fortune cookie scriptures or something at each other. But it wasn't actually like that. It was a lot of fun. So yeah, God has been restoring my life. He's, you know, given me employment. He's, you know, he's really cleaned me up except for my beard. But pretty much everything else. I haven't had a drink now for 7 years. Like, yeah. I think it's seven. I've been saying seven for the last 2 years. So it's, I don't know, I think seven's a good divine number or something like that. But yeah, we'll go with seven. Yeah, look, it's been an amazing journey. But today I actually want to share with you from the book of Luke. Do they still print Bibles? I don't know. Yeah, all right. Well, if you want to turn to the book of Luke, if you have a Bible, and it's the old chapter 15, verse 11. That's a communal Bible there, isn't it? So look, basically, my life was improving. You know, at church, I was getting off the booze. I was making progress, but I know it's a cliche to say there was still something missing, but that's exactly the way I felt. I felt like, oh, there's something more. I still didn't feel quite content. Like, it was better, yeah, I was off the booze, and yeah, I wasn't doing bad things like I used to, but there was just something more I was missing. And that I was missing was God himself. You see, so often we can have faith that God is up there somewhere, but it's a lot different when you can experience God tangibly and actually come into the presence of God and have encounters with God. That makes it cool. That makes it not dorky or shameful to be a Christian. And that was when my life changed, because when you have life-controlling addictions like alcohol and drugs, they fill a massive place in your heart, and when they go, there's a lot of grief, there's a lot of loss, there's a lot of void that needs to be filled, and it can't just be filled by coming to church on Sunday. It can't just be filled by, you know, just having good friends. You need something to actually replace that on the inside, not just material. So it was when I first started having encounters with God through the form of His Holy Spirit that my life started changing. Then I was like, oh my gosh, God is actually real. Forget about Jesus loves you. He's actually real. That was the biggest revelation I've ever had, and it's still one of the biggest revelations I've had today, that God is actually real, that we can access Him all the time, we can know Him, and it's better than any drugs or booze I've done, and it doesn't come with the nasty consequences or headaches. So I imagine we're all probably in the spot there in Luke. So this is the parable of the lost son. I'll just quickly read it. We're pretty short on time, I think, so I'll try and skim through it. So starting at verse 11, it says, "Then he said, 'A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' So he divided to them his livelihood." Just remember that, he divided to them. "And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself..." Remember that as well. "When he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion on him, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father just pretty much ignored that pre-prepared speech. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him. See, when he was feeding the swine, he was robbed. But when he came to the father, he was robed. I don't think anyone got that. And put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field, and he came and drew near to the house when he heard the music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry and would not come in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you. I just lost where I was then. Maybe someone can finish it off. Oh, yeah. I've been serving you. I never transgressed your commandments at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat. Remember that as well. That I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours comes who devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. It never mentions anywhere, by the way, did he spend the money on harlots. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. Whew, gee, that's quite a bit of work. I must admit, I'm dry as a dead dingo in a second. Oh. Whew. Yeah, so anyway, look, what I want to say to you today, there is a massive difference between seeking God from your mind and seeking God from your heart. God looks at your heart. It says in John 4 that God is a spirit, and those that worship, worship in spirit and truth. So often we try and connect to God with our mind, with our thoughts, and it's not very effective if you have thoughts like me, because you'll never be worthy, ever. He could never come to God. So this story, basically the son decided he'd had enough. He went away from God. He went to a faraway country. The younger son was physically distant from the father. The older son was like spiritually distant from the father, but he was physically quite close to the father, but he was never really connecting with the father. The younger son tried to outspend what the father had given, but you can never outspend what the father gives. The older son thought that he could earn his way to the father's love. But sonship is not something that you earn. It's something of who you already are. So when the older son, when he ran out of provisions, he ran out of probably water, he became thirsty, he became hungry. So the first thing he thought of was not the father. The first thing he thought of, well, what's around me? What's the most convenient thing? Oh, no, I'll join myself to someone and they can help me. So often we become thirsty when we're not encountering God spiritually, become spiritually dry and hungry. But the first thing we think of is, oh, maybe I'll get counselling, or maybe I'll call my friend, or maybe I'll just go and do a course, or maybe I'll do this. But they're all symptoms of one issue, and that's that we're thirsty, spiritually thirsty and hungry. And all those manifestations are evident of that. Now, the son, when the younger son realized, he came to himself. He remembered who he was in his heart. See, so many times we forget that it's a spiritual journey. You know, routine replaces revelation. It just becomes stale. We go through the motions every day. Like, oh, I've got to spend my time with God. Is that 20 minutes? You beauty. Now I can go. Now I can watch the cricket. Well, that's me anyway. But when you realise that God is a spirit, you connect to God from here. You can connect with God anytime. You are never locked out of accessing God. You can do it anytime. There's nothing against you. Your mind could be all over the place. You could be not doing too well, but it's not about that. It says also in the book of John that unless you're born again spiritually, you can't even see the kingdom. So it's obviously referring that the kingdom is within. The kingdom is here. But so many times we connect to God, try to, from our mind, and we don't get a lot out of it. You know, I've been months at a time throughout my journey and not being in the presence of God and not even realise that I was blind, that I wasn't accessing God. I was just being religious. Because if you take the Spirit of God out of it, you're left with religion. So the younger son decided, I'm going to walk back. Now it says that he was in the pig, in with the pigs in the field, feeding them. Look, pigs are dirty. I've got a friend here, Antonio. He could give you a masterclass on why not to go anywhere near pigs or pork products, but we're probably a bit short for time. Pigs are pretty dirty. He was filthy. Now he travelled to a far country. So I'm guessing if it was a far away to get from the father's house to the country, it was just as far to get back there. He had nothing. He was walking. I imagine he would have been ripped. His clothes would have been really dirty, ripped, dishevelled. He would have stunk. It didn't matter. His father ran to him. He was out looking for him. He didn't even wait for him to come to the house. He was looking and waiting for him. The father embraced him. He said, put the best robe on him. Now, I don't know about you guys, but if you had kids and they were filthy and muddy, would you want to put the best jumper on them? Probably not. You'd probably tell them to have a shower first, use shampoo, cut your nails, wash your mouth, all these things. And sometimes when it comes to God, we think that we can't access God because we have to clean ourselves first. We have to go through all these steps. Oh, first I'll say 10 Hail Marys. Oh, then if my knees are not sore, then I haven't prayed long enough. Maybe I need to be nice. Oh, but I swore earlier. And God's going to judge me for that, surely. But no, he said, put the best robe straight on him, on his filthy, stinky body. The son kind of was probably looking at himself towards external. I stink, I'm dirty, I've stuffed up. God always looks at your heart. And when you put your faith in Christ, your heart is cleansed. And you found it in him. And that's where you access God from that place. And external things are not as important. We look at clothes, we look at haircuts, they're not as important. Necklaces and stuff like that, it doesn't matter. It's who you are in him. So he came to the Father. Is everyone still awake? Are we here? You should have had a macchiato. You'd be buzzing off your beehive like me. Yep, so he put a robe on it. How am I going for time? Probably about 5 minutes? 5 minutes? Yep, so he put the robe on him. He put the ring on his hand. He put sandals on his feet. And then he said, slaughter the fatted calf and let's make merry. Now, in this, I believe this could be a reference to Jesus. The fatted calf. A lot of time calves are associated with lambs. So kill the fatted calf. So when you exercise your faith in Christ, you partake of the sacrifice of Christ again. You can partake of the finished work of Jesus when you're no longer trusting in yourself, you're trusting in God. You partake of the fatted calf. The son had a moment with the father. He had a real intimate moment. He had a tangible connection with the father and his life would never be the same again. He embraced his father. His father embraced him. For once, he finally realized the heart of his father. But he went through a lot to get there. I don't think we have to do that. The older brother, there's a lot here, but it's hard to condense. But the older brother, he was a different kettle altogether. So he was like he was in the church, he was there all the time, but he was never really connecting with the heart of his father. He thought that he still had a servant mentality. He thought that he could earn his sonship. He thought that he could earn the things of God. And he actually became quite angry that the grace was poured on the younger son and that he wasn't able to access it. And he actually said, you never killed a goat for me. But when this young son comes, you killed the fatted calf. He said, goat, you never killed a goat for me. See, goats are symbolically stubborn. They're not found in the same way as a calf is. Goats are stubborn, they have big horns, they're very hard to herd, they do their own thing. So perhaps that was an indicator of the filter he was looking through. He was stubborn. He was a servant. He was looking at the Father through his filter of stubbornness. And it's even revealed there that even though the fatted calf was killed, he still thought that a goat needed to be killed. If you follow. His father just said to him, everything you have, everything I have is already yours. Because in fact, at the start, when I said to remember, the younger son actually asked for the inheritance, but the father gave it to both of them, said he divided to them. So that means that the older son actually already had the inheritance, but he wasn't actually enjoying it. He actually was just still working. See, a lot of time we've already got everything we need, but we're pleading with God to give us more. We're asking God, oh, make me holy. We already are. I think if we realize who we already are in our heart, because we're so often just looking at who we are according to our mind, according to our works, according to our flesh, according to what we haven't done or what we do do. But just in closing, I just want to encourage everyone about who they already are. You know, in Christ, God is a spirit and we access him from our heart. And that's the place of encounter. The kingdom is within. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter the thoughts you have or haven't had. But it's about who you are in here. And this is where we find the kingdom. The kingdom is within. This is where we connect with God. And so I just want to encourage everyone. Because when the younger son came back from his heart, he had a party. They killed the fatted calf. He was clothed in righteousness. When you spend time in the presence of God, it restores identity. It reinforces your identity in him. It reinforces righteousness, who you are in him, and sets you free from dead works, sets you free from religion. So yeah, I just want to encourage everyone here that we can access God anytime we want, even if we don't feel good. It doesn't matter, because it's about who you are in your heart, who Christ has made you when you became born again. And so it's amazing how it revolutionizes your life. Because for months at a time, I've come to God and I've gone, oh, what a bummer. I have to spend time with God again. But I'm kind of against God at the moment because I don't really want to do this. I'm tired. It's boring. Why would I want to spend time with God? And you go from that mindset to a mindset of, wow, the veil has been torn by Jesus' death and resurrection. I have free access to the creator of all the universe. I can have encounters with God whenever I choose, and there's nothing to stop me, not my mind, not anything, because this is where you access the kingdom from, and this is clean. God sees that it's clean. God says, don't call unclean what I've called clean, so we can't call ourselves unclean either. So now I go from a time of just, yes, I can't wait to get home and just be in the presence of God. I wonder how much of God I'm going to encounter today. I wonder how much of his I wonder how deep I can go in today. I wonder how much I'm going to experience God today. And it's like going to the beach. You could go to the beach, you could be there for 6 hours. You could just dip your toes in and walk around and not really access it. Or you could go for 10 minutes and swim far out as you want. Go right in, immerse yourself and have a real encounter. It's not necessarily about time, but it's about quality. Quality in heart always trumps quantity. So yeah, just to... I think that's my cue to wind up. But yeah, just encouraging everyone, you can access that place. And when you do, you're not lacking anything. You know, you have fulfillment. You know, the only time I get tempted to drink alcohol is when I'm not accessing the presence of God and I feel thirsty. But when you drink of God's presence, I don't really feel like beers anymore. because it's living water tastes better than beer. Anyway, thank you guys. Cheers.
Well done, Josh. Well done. Very good. Hey, wonderful to be here with you. I haven't got much time, but I'm so full of joy to be in this town. And I really want to say thank you for Abby, my sister, who I love very much, who just was, she instigated all this. So thank you, Abby, putting all this together. And we really have been made to feel so welcome. Look, I've travelled all over the world and doing mission work and prayed in all different towns. And I just want to say there's a real purity in your atmosphere here. God is truly among you. I want to encourage you. Jesus is truly among your town. And we're really believing for God to do great things through this place. And we're hoping that one day we can come back. But it's just been a wonderful experience. So look, I just want to share a little bit of a story and then a bit of a word in the short time I have. But look, in March this year, I had a very tough time. I hit the end of myself, I suppose you could say. And we all come to the end of ourselves at some time in our life. And it can be a very tough place and dangerous place, but it can be a very powerful place. Because if God is with you, it's a place where you come to the end of yourself and it's where God starts. Amen. That's where God starts. And in March this year, I hit a place that was so bad, I locked myself in the room. I came to the end of myself. Because I don't know if you've had a dream. I don't know if you've had a vision. I don't know if you've had something, someone told you something, that you're going to be someone, you're going to do something in your life. But that's what I had. I had prophecies, I had things spoken in my life, I had dreams birthed in here. But when everything comes against it, and everything comes contrarily, like it did for Abraham, like it did for David, like it did for Joseph. When everything comes contrary to the promise, that's when it gets really tough and it challenges your faith. But just like gold, it gets purified in the furnace of tough times. Purified in the tough times. And I came to the end of myself. But I met God on another level. Jesus came to me and he showed me some great things. You want to show me? I'm going to share one thing what he showed me the most. He showed me a vision of him coming to the earth. I've never seen like this before. I've heard him. I've heard people preach. I've read the word. I've heard all sorts of things, but I didn't realize that he literally came as a man. He was God. The Bible says he was God, 100% God, 100% man, but he put aside his mighty power. Because Philippians 2, 5 or 3 says, being in the form of God, he put aside his mighty power. And he came as a man in the likeness of a man. He humbled himself. This is what it says. He humbled himself and came as a bondservant, the form of a bondservant, in the likeness of a man. So he showed me that he came as a man and walked among us. He literally lived by faith. He lived by faith. And he said to me, I heard his word, I didn't always know what was going to happen. Because he put aside all knowing. Because there's two places in the Bible that he marveled. He marveled at someone's faith and he marveled at someone's unbelief. So that shows me that he didn't always know what was going to happen. He literally lived by faith in the Father. The word says that he only said what he heard the Father say, and he only did what he saw the Father do. And then at one time he says, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part in me. And they all left. Thousands were following them. They all just packed up and left. We don't understand this saying. We're just going. And then he turned to his disciples and said, are you going too? No, because we know, we don't understand this saying, Lord, but we know that you have the words of eternal life. We don't understand. And I love that. Because if you can still serve God and not understand, your faith is going up. Because we will not always understand many things. And that's what Jesus was showing me. You won't understand many things. Trust in me in all your ways. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge me, and I will direct your path. Son and daughter, you won't always know what's going to happen. There will be visions, there will be dreams, there will be prophecies. Sometimes it will not, but you've just got to trust. Because sometimes you're going in a direction that just seems so contrary to the promise. Sometimes you're going in a way that just makes no sense at all. But then in this perfect work of His majesty, He paints a picture, a beautiful picture, a tapestry. It's just poetry. It all comes together. It's a messy work. It's a messy work, but it's worth it. You don't think that the Father God saw from above and thought, oh God, should I go through with it? It's a messy work, but it's worth it because He loves us so much. He wouldn't wipe it out in a second. He goes, I'm going through with it because I want people, sons and daughters like me, to experience family like I have with the Father, Son and the Holy Spirit. I want them to experience what I have. That's how much He loves us. And He walked among us as a man living by faith, even all the way to the Garden of Gethsemane. To the Garden of Gethsemane, He said, if this cup can be taken from me, the burden was so heavy to bear. If this cup can be taken from me, but let not my will be done, but your will be done. That's how much He was relying on the Father all the way to the cross. He said, why have you forsaken me? All the way, He trusted all the way to the end. He just believed. He just believed. And that encouraged my faith so much, I've never been the same again. Because Jesus put aside His mighty power and He came as a man. He was God. He was the Son of God. Make no mistake, He was the deity. But He put aside all knowing and all power to walk amongst us. And it's by faith that we live. It's by faith that we move. In Him we live. In Him we move. In Him we have our being. Oh God. Oh Lord, You're just so worthy. You're just so worthy. You know, when I read the scriptures recently, I've been reading about the centurion in Matthew 8. Jesus was walking amongst them and He came to a place called Capernaum and a centurion came and said, oh Lord, my servant is sick. He's dreadfully tormented. Just come. And Jesus said, I love His faith. He's just so bold. He goes, I will come and heal him. I will come. I never read anywhere in the scriptures where He denied anybody. I will come and heal him. But this centurion, he knew something different about faith. He said, oh no, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. See, I love this centurion. He knew who God was. He knew who the Lord was. I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. Look, I am a man that in authority, a centurion having 100 soldiers under him. I say go and he goes. I say stop and he stops. Just say a word and my servant will be healed. Jesus just marveled. My God, I have not found such faith even in Israel. I have not seen such faith. Just say a word and he'll be healed. This centurion, he knew something about authority. Just say the word and my servant will be healed because there's no distance in the spirit. Just say it, Jesus, Lord. He marveled. Let it be as you believed. As you believed, go, let it be done. And from that hour, the centurion's servant was healed in that hour, just from a word. Oh, when the Lord speaks, His power in the name. There's power. And guess where that power is living? In you and in me. The power of the Most High is living in you and me. That's why in no other religion, in any other religion in the world, they don't have the Most High living in them. It's all outside. It's all outside. You ask them, when the last time you heard from God? What, you haven't heard from God? Because it's in here. We have Him living in us. And we can speak a word. See, Jesus just walked. And He went into Peter's mother-in-law's house. She had a fever. He just rebuked it, lifted her up by the hand. And she was made well. Nothing gets in the way of Jesus. Nothing gets in the way of Jesus. Look, there are questions and answers that we go through. I don't know why someone got healed, someone didn't in my life. Something happened. You know, the spiritual world's so complicated. I'm not God. But all I know is that word says that it's His will for you to be free. He came so you could be saved. And that word saved means sozo. In the Greek, sozo means wholeness, healness, rescued from darkness. Wholeness, healness, rescued from darkness. That you will be sozo saved. We are saved. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Jesus went into the cities and villages preaching in the synagogues, healing everyone that he went. Demons were cast out. And that's what I love as we come to this Christmas period coming up. Let us be reminded of the Savior that we serve. He's the master. The centurion knew straight away. He heard a story. What have you heard? Have you heard a story? He just heard. He just came and said, Lord, just speak a word. Just speak a word. As Jesus was coming, he came to a village and he was speaking, and a ruler came to him. A ruler came to him and said, my daughter is sick. My daughter is ill. How are we going for time? My daughter is ill. She's dead. Sorry, she is dead. And Jesus said, look, I will come. I will come and heal. I will come. Because nothing gets in the way of Jesus. Nothing gets in the way of Jesus. He just says, I'll come. But as he was going along, this story really impacts me. As he was going to heal this young girl that was dead, a lady came through the crowd. She had an issue with blood. The lady with the issue of blood for 12 years. This lady disturbs me. She disturbs me. You know why? Because when you've got an issue for 12 years, you're unclean. You're not welcome in the streets. People don't want to touch anything that is unclean. You're not welcome. They don't want to touch you. Get away. I mean, I've had an issue maybe for a year, but for 12 years, they don't want to touch you. You're unclean. But sometimes in life, you've got to get through the crowd to get a miracle. You've got to push through the crowd to get a miracle. She doesn't care. There's thousands of people everywhere. Everyone's touching Jesus. The king's in town. The author of life is in town. He's just turned up. The author of life is in town. And people are everywhere trying to get to Jesus, trying to get to Jesus. And they're all touching Jesus. They're all touching Jesus. But you've got to push through the crowd to get a miracle sometimes. You've got to reach out. Sometimes in my faith, I get a bit stale and I see faith going down, but I read the word, I stir myself up and faith goes up. I've got to stir myself up in faith because things are after our faith. You're being renewed by the word. You're being renewed every day. You're either being renewed by the world or you're being renewed by the word. I've got to keep my faith up. Because the enemy wants to steal it. And if he can steal my faith and steal your faith, we're going to sink like Peter did. That's the only reason why he sunk in that boat. Because the faith went down. He looked the storm, down he went. Down he went. But this lady, so often we're waiting for a touch from God. And it's good to have a touch from God. It's good to have a touch from God. But maybe he's asking us to touch him. Maybe he's asking us to touch him. She pushed through the crowd and she touched the hem of his garment. She touched the hem of his garment. And this lady, you know what I love about her? She knew how to talk to herself. If I could just touch the hem of his garment. If I could just touch the hem of his garment. I want to ask you, brothers and sisters, how are we talking to ourselves? How do we talk to ourselves? If I could just touch the hem of his garment. If I could just touch the hem of his garment. This lady knew how to talk to herself. How do we talk to ourselves every day? Is it sinking us? If I could just touch the hem of his garment. If I could just touch the hem of his garment. Oh, yeah. If I could just touch the hem of his garment. There were many people touching him that day. But there's only one touch that he turned around and said, who touched me? Who? The disciples said, who touched you? Lord, everybody's touching you. Oh, no, no, no. But this touch was different. This touch was different. This touch was infused with faith. I just believe. I just believe, Lord. This touch was different. If you just believe, if you reach out, you receive a miracle. You can receive a miracle. This touch was different. I want to say to you today, reach out and touch him. Jesus is waiting for us. To touch him. So reach out and touch him. He's a good God. He just wants to heal his people. He wants to set them free in bondage. Can I pray for you, brother? Can you stand up? I just thank you for this man. I think, what's your name?
Harrison,
I thank you for Harrison, oh God. I thank you for his life. I just pray that you bless him right now. I just pray you just strengthen him right now. Where there's been doubting, where there's been any struggle, any dryness right now, I just release it right now. I rebuke it. Where there's been heaviness, where there's been just what's going on, I just release all that right now. I just want to say to you, brother, that the Lord loves you very much. He loves you very much. He hasn't forgotten you. He knows you by name. And even if we came all the way out of here just to say that, that's fine. He loves you. He loves you so much. I just encourage you. Just go deep into the Word. Get close to Him. Get close to Him. Where there's been pain, I just pray for healing right now. I just pray for healing right now in your heart. Healing right now in your heart. Thank you, Lord. Just healing right now in your heart. Lord, I just pray for a newness, just a freshness, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, for this man. Just a freshness, Lord, to come on his life. You're going to walk out of here different today, my friend. You're going to walk out of here with fresh hope. Because wherever I go all over the world, people are dying of no hope. And I came to the end of myself with no hope. But there's always hope in Jesus. There's always hope in Jesus. Jesus is the hope of the world. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If we could just all stand up. I just want to release a prayer over you and... We'd love to actually really what I was planning to we'd all I just want to pray over everybody. I want to lay a blessing. I determined that no one was going to walk out of here different, but I'm just not sure how we're going to get through all these people in the short time we have. But I'm just going to pray over everybody. Because I know not everyone's in a dark place. Some people are high, some people are low, and it's not all about that. We just came to encourage, to bless. There's a wonderful work going on here in Muckambootin, and we just came to be a part of it and bless you and encourage you and just be uplifted in your faith. Because I want to tell you right now, my brothers and sisters and fathers and aunties that are in the faith right now, that we are from different places. As you can see, we all look different. But we are unified. There is unity in diversity. Someone said to me once on social media, "Do I know you?" I said, "Do you know Jesus?" And they said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, we know each other." There's unity. Because what's in here is all the same. And I tell you what, I've had to change my thinking in the last this year. It doesn't matter what people look like, where they're from, all this sort of stuff, which is all this judging on the outside. Oh, my God. There is something special in every single person. There is something special in every single person. There's a treasure. Everyone's got a story. Everyone's got a story to tell.